My guest Gino Yevjevic was a teen pop star in Bosnia. Before the siege of Sarajevo, he lived in the city on the opposite side of the river from his mother. He was visiting her for lunch when the siege began and was unable to return home for the duration of the war. When the war ended, he emigrated to the U.S. He now lives in Seattle, where he's the lead singer of the band Culture Shock. The band is made up of two Bosnian emigres, two Bulgarians who defected in the communist era, a Japanese musician, and an American horn section. Culture Shock's music is inspired by gypsy music and other traditional Balkan musics, as well as punk rock. Here's a track that combines both from the new Culture Shock CD. When Gino Yevjevic was trapped in Sarajevo during the siege, he and several other musicians put together an absurd version of the musical Hair, which they performed for 3 years.
We took over a little theater which was in the middle of Sarajevo. It was a weird situation. It's not just me. It's like everybody else was trapped too. So all of a sudden you have all the recording artists, but, you know, very, very good selling recording artists trapped in one town, because Sarajevo was from before a cultural metropolis of former Yugoslavia. So all the best selling and all maybe the best rock and roll that was in former Yugoslavia was in Sarajevo. So no wonder people, you know, we had so many musicians in the same position like I was. We took over the theater and we put up our version of musical Hair, which was kind of turned upside down.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Well, I can't imagine. Hair seems so incongruous. Singing
That's
about
exactly.
The age of Aquarius in Bosnia, you know, when Sarajevo is under siege, does not compute. I mean, so what was your version of Hair?
Yeah, that's the beginning of irony era and cynicism era in my life. From then on, everything is irony and everything is double meaning and everything is cynicism. I rather like to make fun of the things that I like that I don't like. And I loved Hair all the way, long time ago. You know, I wanted to be a hippie. I was too young to be a hippie, though. I was a hippie wannabe when I was like 7. I saw them on TV and I really wanted to be part of them. And then later on, of course, I was part of the punk generation, but Hair, at the time war started, we watched Hair once, me and a couple of my friends, and we laughed so hard at saying, what do you mean peace on earth? Like, like bombing all around you. Like, what do you mean peace on earth? So what we did, we made a cover version of Killing Me Softly. You know, yeah, we did Hair. We kind of, that's the only way you can go through that stuff. I mean, if you're trapped, if you can die every next 5 minutes, the only way you can do it is to make fun of it, because, you know, that's how you're going to survive. That's how we realize. Actually, we didn't do it consciously. And people were thanking us later on, because Hair was played for 3 years, almost every day. Every day it was sold out. So, you know, and people were thanking us for keeping the spirit of Sarajevo, keeping people insane and stuff. And we did this selfishly just to keep ourselves alive. You know, because if you don't do that, what you're going to do? You're going to, like, just go on the street and say, shoot me, it's done. You know, so that's what we did for 3 years. We kind of occupied a little theater and run the show with all the problems that you can have running the show during the war, having, you know, having members killed, having, you know, going every single day was a battle, actually, to go from your home where you lived to the theater and back, because you never know. The show was literally more important than our lives, I would say so, because, you know, it's just, therefore I get my philosophy, and the Culture Shock philosophy is like to play every single song like it's the last song in your life, because you never know what's like the last song of your life going to be.
Did you have electricity for the lights in the theater?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. It's kind of triple suicide. we had electricity, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of the gig, electricity would go down, and it would we would turn acoustic, and then we would steal the electricity from United Nations.
How do you do that?
At least they were good for something, huh? Well, we just. You know, they have their generators. They're better than everybody else. And what we had friends who were good in stealing the electricity from their generators. So from the offices that they were having, we were doing that and running the show. And like for a couple of months, they wouldn't realize that. And then they would cut it off and we would steal it from another side. So it's like, it was fun. So I have to say, sometimes I had the fun of my life there in the war.
So did you have your instruments during the war, and were you able to hold on to them?
Oh yeah, I mean that was a musical basically done by the superstars, by the best-selling rock artists who were never on the theater stage. That wasn't like a Broadway musical done by Broadway performer. It was the rock band on the stage. It wasn't a pop hair. It was a rock hair. Mm-hmm. It was very dark. Our arrangements were very dark, and our singing wasn't as happy as the hippie hair also. It definitely wasn't done originally. We rearranged everything and we rewrote the text. It was pretty much the bone of the story, and the initial melodies of the songs were there. Everything else we did pretty much originally.
Now, one of the things that kept people coming to hair was that there was a scene where the actors are naked. Was that part of your version of hair?
No, it was cold. Come on. Theory.
Too cold for that.
It was cold. No, come on. I mean, being naked in my country is not as taboo as being naked over here. Uh-huh. I mean, when I came over here, I was here when I was 15, and I really didn't realize that Christian race on American medias. Right now, I'm like being naked in my country was just a normal thing. I guess I had a couple of musical videos where I have naked people on it. I was one of them. But, you know, so that's not a taboo. We didn't do it because it was cold. And it kind of made no sense in a way in the middle of the war. I mean, if you're naked and all of a sudden bombing starts, where are you going to go naked?
So you had this attitude of, you know, make everything ironic, because if you don't have a sense of humor, you're doomed. And it sounds like you got by just fine, but I'm wondering if you had friends who couldn't get to that point of irony, or couldn't get to that point of being like a fatalist, and were kind of troubled and worried and anguished with every move that they make, wondering, should I turn left or turn right? Is the bullet heading up or is it heading down? Will I get hit or will I avoid it? Because that can either paralyze you or leave you just in this absolutely pained state of constant neurosis.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, in our troop, we had people who were scared to death. And it's not just, I mean, we were friends. We were brothers and sisters, and we really cared about each other. So we kind of, in a way, tried to spare that people of, like, going buy the cigarettes for us, or, you know, get us a booze from the illegal market run by United Nations. Kind of good-willingly making fun of it. You know, I really don't, when we right now sit and remember those days, even those people who were scared of every single, because scare is something that you cannot control. I thought that, you know, sometimes I was scared to death. Maybe that's my defense. Maybe I was scared enough that you know, kind of convinced myself that I wasn't scared. I know what it is to be scared.
What are some of the differences between playing with a band in Seattle, where you live now, and playing in Sarajevo before the war?
We cannot compare really these two lives, because I was lucky. I was 16 and I was lucky to succeed, and there was a big record label behind my back. They were pretty much telling me what to do. We're playing clubs right now. People are very close to you. You can see what they think. You can see how they look at you. This is a completely new experience, and I don't have television backing me up anymore. I don't have radio backing me up anymore. Like before, you know, you release the record, you have television backing you up, you have radio backing you up, you go, you sell out the arena and you take the money. That was like, that's pretty much a simple way of doing it. Right here is just play, and people come and see you, and more you play, the better you are, more people come and see you, and it's kind of more natural right now in this moment.
Now, is the Balkan traditional music that you've kind of incorporated into your band now, is that like the gypsy music, is that part of your tradition, or is that just a tradition of the area that you heard a lot?
No, it's part of our tradition also. It's part of our tradition. Gypsies came from India, and they ended on Balkan Peninsula, mostly being in Bosnia, Serbia, and Bulgaria, in Macedonia also, mm-hmm. Actually mostly in Macedonia. When we were growing up, that was the music that wasn't cheesy, and it was folk, and we loved it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like bluegrass over here. You know, you love it because it's pure, and it's full of soul and energy, and it's something that you close your eyes and sing. Gypsies are all around us, and I mean, you can pretty much see people from Balkan Peninsula. They're dark hair with a dark tan. And we're supposed to be Slavs, red hair, tall, and like with freckles, like Russians. We mixed a lot with Arabs, with Turks. Turks were 600 years there. And also when Gypsies came from India, we mixed with them too. So there are all cultures which are giving this particular musical stamp that I'm using.
Did you do folk dancing when you were a kid?
Never in my entire life. We don't have folk dancing over there.
No, you see, American kids grew up, at least in my age, they grew up with like Balkan folk dancing. You know,
yes.
It's very popular here now still. So,
yeah, I have to tell you the story about that. We really like folk dancers here in Seattle, and they come to our shows. And we were invited to Balkanalia Festival in Portland, so we went over there. And being natives ourselves, you know, they thought that we are natives. So when we started playing, half of the room just got out because, you know, we weren't what they were expecting. And then I had the political speech later on saying, hello, people, let me explain you something. When your grandfathers and grandmothers left, and when the shepherd was playing the flute on the hill, some people still remained in the homeland. You know, they're still there. The people still live there. And believe it or not, we have refrigerators and running water and the computers right now. So electric guitars also. Like, life goes on. You know, it's not... But, folk dance community is totally American stuff. It goes along, totally. And you know, if there wasn't for folk dancing, we wouldn't have a fundament of our audience base at the beginning at all.
Well, Gino Jevcevic, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
Gino Jevcevic is now lead singer of the Seattle-based band Culture Shock. They have a new CD. This is Fresh Air.